I hope I'll never sing. I regret the way I lived.
I hope I'll never.
Come on, say it to yourself. Please let me go back.
I don't wanna say. Can I go back to do some more? I wanna go back. I don't wanna
say.
I wanna go back. I don't wanna say.
Say, I don't wanna say. Hallelujah. Do you know that that is the commonest phenomenon in life? How many of you look back to some stage in your life and realize you could have done better? Let's say, how many of you think if you were to go back to elementary school, you would do better? Just elementary school. Right? What about if you were to go back to high school, you would do better? Well, even college. How many of you think if you were to have that chance again, you would do better? Yes. 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 Or how about if you were to go back to your teenage years, you would do better?
Yes.
Some of the choices you made as a teenager, you wouldn't make it. Right. So it seems that life really is a series of regrets. Do you see what I'm saying? That when you leave one stage, you just look back and realize that that was an opportunity and I missed it.
Yeah.
Do you see? So what this song is saying is that when we get to heaven, do you get it? When we get to heaven, some people will say, I want to go back. Do you see? Yeah. But by the way, do you notice that all the, if I had a chance, goes with there is no chance. Do you see what I'm saying? So even though we have strong wishes and wish we could do it again, there is no opportunity to do it again. And so the song is saying that when we get to heaven, we're going to look back and say that, you know, can I go back? And just like elementary school, there will be no opportunity to go back. Do you get it? Yeah. I think if we think a little deeply, we will realize that if that's been the pattern, that you leave a stage and you look back and you wish you had done better. You leave a stage, you look back and you wish. It means that even the life you're living now, one day you will look back and wish you had done better. That's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to ask you, maybe when you're 40 years old, how many think if you were to go back to 25, you would do better. But you're 25 now. So why don't you do better now? Why don't you learn from the past and say that I'm likely to regret the life I'm living now? Do you see? And try to use that to fix the life you're living now so that it is your best life possible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Sing that again. I hope I'll never say I regret the way I lived. I hope I never say, please let me go back. I don't want to say, can I go back to do some more? I don't want to say, I want to go back. Everybody sing it again. I hope I never say I regret the way I lived. I hope I never say, please let me go back. I don't want to say, can I go back? Can I go back to do some more? I wanna go back. I don't wanna say. I wanna
sing it for the last time. I hope I never say. Come on.
I hope I never say.
Say,
please let me go back. I don't wanna say, can I go back to do some more? I don't wanna say.
Everybody, and just pray and say, Lord, help me to live the best life I can live at this stage of my life. Help me not to move out of this stage and look back with regrets and look back and wish I had done things another way. But let me look back with pride and say, thank you, Lord, for the wisdom you gave me. When I was living in LA, when I was 16 years old, when I was 25, when I was 45 years old, when I was 30 years old, Lord, thank you for the wisdom you gave me to live my best life in you. The best life possible in you. The most productive life possible in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody just pray. Whatever your age, whatever the stage of life you're in, you can live a better life today than you have lived in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace. And thank you for the mercies, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us to put things right and to fix what can be fixed. Yes, Lord, to mend what can be mended in the name of Jesus, and preserve what is not yet broken, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Amen. 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 Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. What a blessing. Amen. You know, songs can be a blessing, amen. And the songs we have in our church are a great blessing always. And I want to encourage you to learn how to sing them, amen. Don't just hear them, but learn how to sing them. Great, amen. Right. Now, next week, Sunday, is a very special Sunday. Amen. As a matter of fact, the whole of the month of May in our church is a special month. Amen. And all of you who are born in the month of May, you are blessed, you know. And is that you? Oh, okay. Wow. I see. And those who've had birthdays already and those whose birthdays are yet to come, you can import. You get it? Yeah. You can. Yes. Some people are switching to May. All right. Okay. But May is our Founder's Day. Amen. You know? Now, this person you're seeing on the screen is Bishop Joshua from the First Love Center. And this morning, I was just hearing him announce the birthday of our prophet. And I was just so inspired, you know. So I just thought you should hear him again. What do you think? Are you ready to hear him? All right. So let's hear the announcement with him, and then I'll come back and share. Amen. All right.
By the way, it's Founders Day week. Oh, yes. So, next week, Sunday, is Founders Day. So, come, everybody should just wear a bright color. We're wearing a bright color. That's the dress code for next week. We're wearing a bright color, and then we are coming to have a party. Do you like parties? The girls want to take a cloth. Everybody's allowed to misbehave. Everybody can misbehave. You can do anything that you want to do. You can sew whatever you want. But it's Founders Day. So next week, Sunday, we're having our Founders Day celebration right here at the First Love Church and all over the world in all churches, the 43 denominations and the 9 parachurch institutions that form a part of Dark Heward Mills Ministries. Amen. So make sure you are a part of that, and I know God is going to bless you. Some people have asked me, you want to do something for prophet, you want to do give something or do something, just see a pastor and he'll sort you out if there's anything God has laid on your heart. Our prophet is turning 60 years old on Sunday. 60 years old. It's not a small thing, but it's a blessing, and I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to God for 60 years. Amen. And I thank God for preserving his life for all of us. Now, how many of you met prophet in the last 10 years? You got to really connect with him the last 10 years. So imagine if God hadn't given him the extra 10. He will not be here. So we are grateful, and it's a wonderful celebration. Amen. Please put your hands together. You may be seated. So, Josie's giving me pressure that announcements and other things, but she'll come and announce those announcements. I'm doing Founders Day, so let me finish. So, now, do you know what Founders Day is? See, when you say Founders Day, you get confused, because Founders Day in Achimota School is for Governor Gordon Gadgetzburg. Founders Day in Ghana is for Kwame Nkrumah. Founders Day in Presec, I don't think they have a founder. I think they just, it's a small a community that just, I don't think, there's no real founder. Founders Day in Kumasi Anglican Secondary School is what? Now, Wesley Girls, they don't have a, there's a boys' quarters that, anyway, look, let's do the right thing. But Founders Day here in the First Love Church is the birthday of the founder of the church. Do you understand? Isaac Nakoja's birthday is Isaac Nakoja's birthday. Paul Bedu's birthday is Paul Bedu's birthday. But Dagiwad Moses' birthday is what? Founder's Day, because there's a difference. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we are celebrating. It's not a normal Founder's Day. It's the special Founder's Day where our prophet is crossing 60 with ease. With ease. And I know it's going to be a blessing. So come in bright colors. Do you know what a bright color is, Joel Saki? A bright color is not black. It's not black. Amen. Amen. So it's going to be a fantastic time. Make sure you are here, and God is going to be with us, and we are blessed. Amen. You may be seated. Are you excited? I don't sense you're excited. Okay. I hear you. And next week, everybody who comes to church is getting a free drink because it's Founders Day. You're not excited. I was going to add a kebab, but your excitement was just as it's okay. It's too late. No, I was going to buy everybody in the Church of Freedom, but your excitement is very low. So anyway, it's Founders Day in First Love Church. It's Founders Day in St. Adelaide's Schools. It's Founders Day in Anakazo Bible and Ministry Training Seminary. It's Founders Day at Healing Jesus Crusade. It's Founders Day at St. Catherine's Hospital, St. Gamaliel's Hospital. It's Founders Day in Lighthouse Chapel International. It's Founders Day in Kodesh Family Church. It's Founders Day there. It's Founders Day in Makane Church, Macarius Church, Catch the Anointing Church, Lighthouse Chapel International, the Mega Church, Jesus is the Answer Church, Greater Love Church. Jesus is the Rock Church. It's Founders Day there. It's Founders Day in Flow Church. It's Founders Day in Flow Church. It's true. And then, I don't know, it's Founders Day in a lot of places. But the biggest Founders Day is at the First Love Center here in Accra. So, make sure you are here. Make sure you are here. It's very powerful. So, please, sit down. And some of you, it's Founders Day for your marriage. Because your marriage was founded by Bishop Daniel. Amen. Anyway, sit down. I'm sorry. I think it's time for normal announcements. So please put your hands together and let's welcome. It's for the old and the young. It's for everybody. Welcome, Mother Josie, to give us the announcements. Amen.
Wow. Isn't that a blessing? It's Founders Day right here at AMC. And that's where the biggest Founders Day celebration is going to be, right here at the AMC. Amen. Yeah. You know, he said that for some people, it will be Founders Day even for their marriage. I'm one of those people. Yeah. So, I don't know, what can I say? It's going to be a big party next week. Yes. And next week, everyone who comes to church is going to get a special gift. Yes. Because it's Founders Day. It's going to be a day of goodwill and is a great blessing. You know, I'm so glad that God has allowed our founder to live for 60 years. You know, yes. And I've been blessed to share more than half of that lifetime, yes. And it's been one blessing after the other, one blessing after the other. When I look back at my life, I just think about one person, perhaps apart from the people who actually made it happen, as in my parents. I can't really think of anybody else who has impacted my life and has, you know, caused many beautiful parts of it to come out as he has done. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. And so for me, it's a big party, and I'm inviting all of you to that party. Yeah. And I know that all of you have been blessed. Yes. The least you have gotten from his life is that you got to come to this church. even if it was for one day, that has been a blessing. If this church has been a blessing to you, it means that you've been blessed and enjoyed part of the 60 years. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's a celebration of the person. It's a celebration of God's goodness. It's a celebration of God's kindness to you also for putting somebody like that in your life. Many of us, our lives took a certain turn because of who we met. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. There are some people we wish we had never met them. Yes. And sometimes your life is the way it is because of who you met. It's just that you are yet, your eyes are yet to open to the regret. Remember, the regret is after you leave this stage. You get it. And you realize that this person that I thought was a blessing has not been a blessing after all. Do you see what I'm saying? But I think that there are some people also, when you meet them, you just wish you had met them earlier. Because they make such a huge difference, and you feel like if I had just met this person maybe just 5 years ago, you know, everything would have been different for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so I really want you to appreciate that and join us, join the church. And as he said, I mean, you know, when you say Founders Day, some people say Founders Day, and they're just speaking about someone who has founded the one thing they know. You know, but it's Founders Day in many places for us because he has founded so many different things. So it's Founders Day at Healing Jesus Campaign. It's Founders Day at Anakazo Bible School. It's Founders Day at St. Catherine's Hospital. It's Founders Day at St. Gamaliel's Hospital. It's Founders Day where else? St. Adelaide Schools, right? Then it's Founders Day at American Missionary Church. It's Founders Day at Revival International. It's Founders Day at Kodesh Family Church. It's Founders Day at Lighthouse Chapel International. It's Founders Day at Shepherd House International. It's Founders Day at Lay World Movement. It's Founders Day at where else? Flow Church is Founders Day at Anakazo Assemblies. It's Founders Day at Mustard Seed Chapel. It's Founders Day at where? Straight Gate Church. It's Founders Day at where? Lycos International Church, yes. And it's Founders Day at Revival International Church. It's Founders Day where else? Where? First Love Music is experiencing Founders Day. It's Founders Day at First Love Church itself. It's Founders Day where else? What? Loyalty House International. It's Founders Day at Pleasant Surprise Church. It's Founders Day at where else? Doug Hayward Mills Videos.org. Right. It's Founders Day in many different places. At least 43 different denominations will be celebrating Founders Day. And it's such a big Founders Day. It's a real blessing, you know. And so I'm inviting you to be part of it, you know. And what makes next week even more special is because next week will also happen to be Mother's Day. Wow. Yeah, yes. And so it's an opportunity to invite a mother to come and join our big party. Because many mothers, even though it's Mother's Day, will be stuck at home. Yeah, they'll be stuck at home. The best they might get is their children might invite them out to lunch. But let that mother know that there could be a bit more to next week than the lunch. Do you see what I'm saying? Because we're going to have a big party here. There'll be food here. There'll be happiness here. And next week we are dressing, you know, Bishop Joshua said they're wearing bright clothes. We are going, what are we doing? Fancy, festive, brightest, and best. Fancy, festive, brightest and best. Do you see? Right? So you can put on any combination of the four. All right? Is she right? Asabia is going shopping. Yes, I'm going shopping too. Yeah, Trent, we're going shopping, you and I, okay? We're going shopping, yes? Oh, you need to get some blinks also, right? Yes, yes. Yeah, you need to get some blinks also and just, I mean, next week, go all out. Do you understand? Go all out, even if they don't match. Because sometimes your fancy clothes don't match with your festive clothes, which don't match with your brightest clothes, you know, and they don't match with your best clothes, but they all are what they are. And they said we should wear it. So just put them together, all right? And let's have a big celebration here next week and rejoice in what God has given us. Amen. God, one of God's greatest gifts is the gift of a person. Do you see? The gift of a person. I tell you that there are some people, if you meet them, your lives will change. You get it? Pray that God will send somebody good into your life. Do you see? Yeah. Pray that God will send somebody good into your life. Not someone who will twist your life, but someone who will help you unravel the twistedness that already exists in the life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Pray that God will send someone to help you. And those of you who are still single, pray that God will send a good person into your life. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And one of the ways to approach that is to celebrate good people. Because what you honor is what comes near you. Do you get it? What you shun and despise does not come near you, even if it's a dog. Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's a dog. You see, sometimes you see a dog and it starts barking, but as you start to go near it and appreciate it, it just forgets about barking and starts to wag its tail and starts to want to be friendly. You know, we have this little, now it's big, the turtle in the house. You know, even when you go near it and if you come with a good tone, it will come out to meet you. You get it? Yeah. When you honor things and celebrate things, those things start moving towards you. That's the reality. Yeah. So if you're single, you have a chance. Those of you who are married, it's too late. But I mean, whatever you got is what you got. Pray that the good in it will come out. You get it? Yeah. Because in every person, there's good and there's the other thing. You see? Yeah. And in fact, even there, the one you talk to is the one who talks back. You see, the one you relate with and celebrate is the one that responds and talks back. Do you see? Yeah. So, but especially those who are now waiting and trusting God to meet somebody for the rest of your life. That person could make a big difference if he is the right person or if she's the right person. Do you see? Marcus. Good to see you, man. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? That person could make a big difference in your life if he's yet to come. Hallelujah. Thank God you know what you know now before you choose that person. Before you settle with that person. Thank God you know what you know now. And so pray that God will order the steps of a good man, of a good woman, your way. Hallelujah. And it will bless your life. And you will find that people do make a difference. Hallelujah. I said people do make a difference. And who is in your boat, who is in your life, makes a world of difference to the peace you get to enjoy, to the things you get to know, to the encouragement you get to ride on, to the courage with which you approach life. It makes a difference even to what you want to try. And new opportunities and new things that exist all depend on people who you meet. Do you see? That's why one of the worst things you can do is to be antisocial. You don't like people, you just like yourself. haven't you had enough of yourself? Do you see? Yeah. It takes more than yourself to break through. It is yourself plus something someone brings to add to you. Don't you realize that? Don't you realize how people are made? It's not yourself. Something must come from somewhere to add to what you have. Then you get a person. Do you see what I'm saying? So I want to encourage you to respect the blessing of a person. That's what I'm saying. Are you getting it? Respect the blessing of a person. That one of the biggest gifts that God would give to you is a person. What does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world, he gave us a person. Yeah, he didn't. God so loved the world, he made it rain. No. Or God so loved the world, he made more trees grow. When you love your house, what do? You buy a television, you make a lawn, and you do those things. So why didn't God do the same? That he so loved the world that he made a garden. That he so loved the world, he made more bananas. He so loved the world, he just created swimming pools. No, when God so loved the world, he gave us a person. So the expression of extreme love is to give the best gift. And the best gift is a person. Do you see? Yes. That's why we shouldn't rubbish people. God gives us people and we just treat them like rubbish. Even before their lives begin to manifest what they came into your life for. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. Ask your neighbor, who are you rubbishing in your life? Yeah. Yes. You're treating them like trash. And yet, this is a person that God has given you. This is a person that has interest in you. This is a person that God has placed in your life strategically for this moment or this season of your life, through whom God is going to add things to your life that are not found in your home. Everybody's home is missing something. Yes. And from home to home, some are missing more. You get it? Yeah, it's like you, if you go to people's homes, you see not every home has an 85-inch TV. But it's a home. Do you get it? Yeah. So if you don't go to certain places, you may never know that even 85, you just make do with the 14 inch that is in your house. And you wouldn't know that the inches have grown since the 14 was bought. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, 14 inches, what, like an iPad? A little bigger than an iPad. Yeah. The kind of television where when you're watching and someone crosses, you're angry. Because they really block the entire television. You get it? But you can have a TV where even he can block a part of it, you can still be watching. There's still enough left. You know? Listen, I'm saying all this because I want us to wake up to the reality of the gift that God has given to us. Amen. And so I'm inviting all of you to this party. Bring a mother along. Do you understand? There's a free party. And especially if your mother is around, bring her too. Do you get it? Because you are not going to have a party for her. So why don't you bring her to a party that somebody else is paying for? Do you see? Yeah. And she'll be thanking you for taking her out. Do you see? Yeah. So bring that mother in your neighborhood. Bring the mother on your apartment floor. Bring the mother that you know about, the one you work with, whoever it is that is a mother, bring them along with you next week to celebrate this big party, and it will be a blessing. Don't forget your fancy, festive, brightest, and best clothes next week with a bling. Okay, beautiful. Amen. All right. Now, for the word of God, just at least one point before we close. Okay? Yes. So we've been sharing seven great principles, isn't it? And we've gone through them. Number one is man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Do you remember that? Okay. Oh, by the way, today we are celebrating the April Borns. Wow. Beautiful. So we'll be doing that in just a few moments. But let's just finish this. Okay, so the seven great principles of salvation are number one, what? Man is a spirit. Yes, he has a soul. He lives in a body. Powerful. Number two, the spirit of an unsaved man is dead and desperately wicked, right? Number three, the spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy, right? The spirit of a saved man is righteous and truly holy. Then number four is after you're born again, your spirit is a newborn baby and it must grow, right? One more time. After you're born again, your spirit is a newborn baby and it must grow. Beautiful. Number five, after you are saved, your mind is still the same. It must be renewed. Amen. Your mind must be renewed. Hallelujah. You must think differently. Amen. And it is in that arena of the renewed mind that the transformation occurs in a person's life. So the Bible says, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. So you change your mind, you change your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. When your mind changes, your life changes. You get it? When the mind is screwed up, I tell you, the whole life is screwed up. Isn't it? Yes. And you see, you meet somebody whose mind is not working and his whole life is twisted. Yes, his whole life is destroyed. He has working kidneys, a working heart. I mean, some of the people who eat from the garbage are some of the healthiest people. Yeah. You see them walking around like that and you see them, their bodies are fit and working, but the mind, he lives under the bridge because of the mind. Do you see what I'm saying? So the devil is after your mind. Yes, the devil is after your mind. The devil is after your mind. And you have to watch the things that are in your mind and the things that you actually put in your mind. You need to watch what's coming out of your headset. Because it's going into your mind. 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 And it will arrest and take hold of your mind. And when it takes hold of your mind, it has your life. And your life is no longer in control of yourself. You just get to live it, but you don't get to control it. See, when like a prisoner. A prisoner gets to live the life, but he doesn't get to control it. Do you see what I'm saying? Someone else determines the scope of the living. And his job and his privilege is to live the life. He will eat what is given him. He will wake up when he has to wake up. He'll be locked up when he has to be locked up. The lights will go off when the lights must go off. And he will walk from here to here as determined by somebody else. So he will live the life, but he will not get to control it. When the enemy gets hold of your mind, You will live the life. You will experience the pain. You will experience the discomfort. You will experience any and everything that comes with the life. But you will not have control over it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That is why we must fill our minds with the right things. We must fill our minds with the Word of God. Allow God to take hold of your mind. Allow the Word of God to control your thinking. Try to think along with the Word of God. Think in the Word. Do what the Bible says. Don't do your own thing. Don't do your own thing and look back in a few years and say, I wish I had done this. That if I had it to do again and you wouldn't have it to do again, I would do it this way. Do you see what I'm saying? The Word of God will cleanse your path and make it pure. God will help you to live the right life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So let's renew our minds. Let the preaching affect our thinking. Yearn to hear preaching. You must want to hear some preaching. That's why we have the podcast. That's why we have podcasts. Do you understand? So you don't hear preaching only in church. You know, I wish you would be in church every Sunday. But even if you are not able to make it to church every Sunday, that should not stop you from hearing the Word of God. Are you hearing me? We have the podcast. Who doesn't have a podcast? Who doesn't have the podcast? Who doesn't have the podcast? Benji, you don't have the podcast? You don't. Okay, see me after church. I'll give it to you, okay? Yes. Yeah. Who doesn't have it? You don't have it, right? Okay, see me after church. I'll give you the podcast. It's free of charge. It's free. So there's no reason why you shouldn't have it. Even the newspaper that's free, you have it from Walmart. You have free Walmart newspaper. How much more the podcast? Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But let's get it. You see the podcast? So many different ones. And there's so much preaching and so much teaching that will affect your thinking. And you change your thinking, you change your life. Amen. You change your thinking, you change your life. Hallelujah. So I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. Amen. Everybody should get all the podcasts in the house. Amen. And it will be a blessing to you. Amen. All right. So that was point number 5. Number 6 is what? After you are saved, your body is still the same. You must keep it under control. Huh? After you are saved, what? Your body, everybody say it with me. 1, 2, 3, go. After you are saved, your body is still the same. You must keep it under control. You must keep your body under control. Amen. After you are saved. Amen. And that goes for everybody. Even if you are the pastor, your body is still the same. You have to keep it under control. Amen. Then point number 7 is the last one. Point number 7 is what? Your mind is still open to all kinds of thoughts. You must learn to think on the right things. Amen. So it means you must choose your thoughts, isn't it? Yes. Then the Bible says we must cast down imaginations. There are some thoughts that must be cast down. Do you see? Yeah, there are thoughts that must be rejected instantly. They must not even be allowed to settle. You must cast down. Why? Because thoughts are also spirits. Amen. Thoughts are also spirits. Thoughts are demons. A lot of thoughts are actually a demon trying to knock on the door of your life. You get it? And it comes as though it's just a fleeting thought, some wave that's just passing. Well, if it's passing, let it pass. Do you see? But don't let it settle. Don't give it. I mean, some of the thoughts that bring depression is because we allow them to settle. Yeah, they were just passing. Do you see? Yeah, they were just passing. And then they found out there was room in your mind and in your life. There was accommodation. Was it not here last week we read a verse about how demons operate? Yeah, that demons are always looking for a place, isn't it? They are looking for a place of rest, a place where they are not challenged. That's a place of rest, isn't it? Yeah, a place where you're not. It's like you, when you're looking for parking, you're usually looking for a place of rest. Yeah, that's why you go round the block and round the block and round the block. It's not that there are no places. There are places you can leave your car in the middle of the street. Do you get it? You can leave your car right there, just in front of the church, right in the middle of the street. Yeah, you can leave your car right there. But you see, it's not a place of rest. Yeah, you will not sit here comfortably if your car is just sitting right in the middle of the street. Do you see? Yeah, so you go around. Sometimes you even get out of the car and read the sign and try to interpret it. You know, sometimes you read the sign and you don't get the English. Has it happened to you before? Yeah, you feel like the street sign could use some punctuation. You know, or maybe a semicolon somewhere or a comma might have made it clearer. Yeah. You know, yesterday I had, Joe was saying yesterday, he was referring to a particular stop sign and said he thinks it's a suggestion. He thinks that particular stop sign is just a suggestion. You know, because you have to interpret the things properly and walk back and put your car there. You're looking for a place of rest, a place where you can settle without being challenged, without coming into trouble. And that's what demons do. It says, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. He's looking for a place where he's not challenged. You know, and a place where you are not challenged is a place where the lifestyle is consistent and with and supports what the demon does. Do you see? Or the belief system, you know, supports and celebrates such demons. So the demon comes there and lives there and knows over here, we're welcome. Then the Bible says, what does he do? He says to himself, I will return to my house where I will return to my house whence I came out. Then the next verse 25 says, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Do you see? Can you change the English a little bit? Change it. Yes. Yeah. Then goeth he. Oh, we are still speaking the same English. Yes. Then the spirit finds, what about 25? So it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. Okay, you see, then verse 26, then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself. Do you see? Yeah. And they all enter the person and live there. And the last, it says, and so that person is worse off than before. Have you ever noticed someone getting worse? Have you noticed that before? Sometimes even in yourself. That you're being sucked deeper and deeper into something you don't even like. But you seem not to be able to control it. That you are losing control and losing it more and more. Do you see? Before you could draw a line somewhere and stop. But now you find you're not able to stop so much. and you're doing it a bit more often, you see, and you have less and less control. Now, this is it. This is the explanation. This is why I like the Bible, because it explains everything in life. You get it? It explains every situation in life. It says, somebody you see who becomes worse off than before is actually under the influence of evil spirits. And the reason why he's worse off than before is because the original spirit has brought other spirits, has opened the door to other spirits who are more evil than the original one. That is why the person doesn't get better, he gets worse. Does it make sense? Yes. So don't take it for granted if you're getting worse. If you find yourself going deeper, if you find yourself, you know, maybe smoking a bit more. Do you get it? Or getting into worse things. Yesterday, someone said, I think I shared it with some of you, a video that someone shared about people on drugs. Fentanyl. Yes? Yes? And the distraction. And apparently what is happening is that they are mixing it with other things. Do you see? Yeah, they're mixing it with other things and not telling people it's in there. So you think you're just getting a Coke shot. You know, just one thing that you're getting, and you're getting a bit more than that. And they were showing people, you know, people who are, you know, one guy said that, you know, he said, you can be on the road somewhere. Like, he said, you can see a business person on his way to work, you know, and then he gets one shot of that thing, and he loses his life. He said, in that instant, just right there in front of the seller. Oh, no. It's you don't mess with those things. You don't mess with those things. You get it? But you find people drawn. It's not even like something you eat that you say will give you some pleasure. Do you get it? But you find people being drawn into these things. And the Bible is clear. If these things are done by spirits. Yeah, that's why it's stronger than your willpower. You see, it's stronger than your willpower because it's not you. It's not, and it's not just a substance. But there's a spirit involved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is why people can get worse. That's why people can get worse. That's why you find yourself on a slippery slope. You find yourself sliding deeper and deeper into something. You don't like it. You don't like the direction. You don't like where you're headed, but you don't seem to be able to reverse. Have you been in a car before that's skidding in snow or ice? Oh, yeah. Yeah? Yes. You even wish it will hit something and stop. Yes, and there are people like that. There are people who even wish they'll get caught. Yes, they wish someone will catch them and that will force them to stop. Because you're in a kind of free sliding and you're just going, you don't even know where. Do you see? Yeah. And that is why we need to be careful. We need to be careful. We need to be careful what we engage in. We need to be careful what we start. We need to be careful what we admit into our minds. Because thoughts are spirits. Amen? Amen. And those things can destroy and ruin our lives. Say amen. Amen. All right. Now, one point only for today, and we close. And that point, I'm going on to another subject, which is seven great principles on spiritual growth. All right? Seven great principles on spiritual growth. So, principle number one. Principle number one is that after you're born again, accept that you are either a spiritual baby, a spiritual child, or a spiritual adult. Okay? So what it means is that after a person is saved, there are three different descriptions that will fit that person. Okay? One of them is that you're either a spiritual baby, a spiritual child, or a spiritual adult. Amen. Amen. Now, what is the difference between these three? The difference is growth, isn't it? Yeah. What is the difference between a baby, a child, and an adult? The difference is growth, isn't it? Yeah. So God is expecting us to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Do you see that? It says, but grow in grace. Amen. Amen. Grow in grace. God expects us to grow. Amen? Amen. God expects us to grow. And so the principle number one is that after you are born again, you are either a spiritual baby, a spiritual child, or a spiritual adult. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm going to give you three scriptures that support what I just said. Okay? So 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, as newborn babes. Can you see that? Yeah. As newborn what?
Babes.
Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen. Amen. So the Bible is describing a Christian as a babe. Do you understand? Yeah. So babe is not only the girl you're in love with. You get it? And any girl who's responding to the word babe must continue. They must desire the sincere milk of the word. Do you understand? If you don't desire the sincere milk of the word, you are disqualified. You don't deserve to be called babe. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so if you're going to be called babe, that's fine. But then you got to read your Bible. You have to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen. But do you see the word babe means what? Baby, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know what about that makes... Even the guys are called babies now. Moses and Jean-Jacques are both called babes. Oh, I see. Hi, babes. All right. Then that means both Moses and Jean-Jacques better desire the sincere milk of the word. Isn't it? Yeah. I see. Grown up guys with a beard. And they are flattered by babe. All right. Okay. Okay, all right. So desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, isn't it? So it means that we are considered babes, babies. Amen.
Amen.
And as we go on, you will see the characteristics of babies. Amen. But we as Christians are considered babes in the Lord. And a babe must grow.
That's right.
You know, in fact, the only duty of a baby is to grow. You know, yeah. So now that there's a baby in Moses' house, I don't know who's the babe. The baby is called what? What do you call the baby in the house? Leel. She's called Leel. And Moses is called Babe. Oh my Lord. That's a problem. I'm going to send... I'm going to create a committee to sort out this problem. So Trent and Dennis, they're going to solve this problem after church. Okay, and put the right names in the right place for us. Okay, yeah. Okay. Okay, so number one is the babes. Okay, now the second scripture is about the children. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 14. That one says in Ephesians 4 and verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. So you see that there's another group of Christians that are referred to as children, isn't it? So he says that we should henceforth be no more children. That means that there are some peculiar characteristics that identify us as children. Do you see? Yes. One of them is what? Restlessness. Just, I have to get up. I have to, you know, have you noticed that children just get up and they have to move from here to there? Yeah, from here to there. I mean, for no reason. And even for reasons that can wait. That's a sign that a person is in the Lord, but he's just a child in the Lord. Amen. Then the third one, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. And if we read it from the NASB, you'll see how it says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant, isn't it? Yes, so he's an infant, but solid food is for the mature. Can you see that? The mature is another word for what? Adults, grown-ups, the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Amen. So we've seen that in the Lord, you can either be a babe or an infant, isn't it? Or you be a child, isn't it? Or you will be a mature adult in the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. You be a mature adult. Amen. Amen. Now, principle number two will tell you what it is like to be a baby. So, principle number two says, after you are born again, you become a spiritual baby and are dominated by the flesh. Yes. You are a spiritual baby and you become dominated by the flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians chapter chapter what? 2 and verse 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the spirit that now worketh where? In the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." Hallelujah. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Amen. So the main thing about a spiritual baby is that he is dominated by the flesh. Do you see? He is dominated by the flesh, not by the spirit. He lives his life pretty much like an unbeliever. You see? Yes. In fact, there's not much difference between an unbeliever who is religious and a new believer who is dominated by the flesh. Wow. Do you see? Yeah. A new believer lives according to the dictates and the desires of the flesh, and so does an unbeliever who lives according to the flesh and prays occasionally. You see, yeah, there are many unbelievers who pray. There are many unbelievers who are kind of religious. They have religious sympathies. Maybe that's the best way to put it. You get it? They have a kind of acknowledgement of God. Do you see? Without really being committed and dedicated to Him. They are not given to Him. They have not given their lives to Him. But they do sort of recognize His existence and are even respectful.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you see? Yeah. They are respectful of God.
Yeah.
But you see, there's a difference between being respectful of God and being saved.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. There, you can respect something and not be or allow yourself to be controlled by it. Hallelujah. So there are many unbelievers like that. They go to church even. They attend Christian functions, you know, and they are sympathetic with Christian things and, you know, they just coolly flow, but they are not saved. They have not received Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. They have not come to that place of yielding themselves to God and saying, "Lord, I know I'm a sinner and that Jesus died for me." That's a prayer you must make sure you pray.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. It's not, no matter how many times you go to church, how often you go to church, just make sure that at some point you have made that connection with the reality that you are a sinner and that Jesus died for your sins and that you can have salvation through Jesus if you receive and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, and it's okay to do it many times. Yeah. If you are not sure, it's okay to do it. Even at the end of this service, we'll be doing it again. And there'll be an opportunity to give yourself to Jesus if you are not sure where you stand in relation to Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right. So a person who is saved and who is a baby, you know, you find that their lives are dominated by the desires of the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Now, everybody lives in a body, like we said, and your flesh is loaded with desires. Do you see? Now, when you're born again, it is your spirit that is born again. So this spirit that is born again has been born into a flesh that is, as you can see, already old, already mature, already set in its ways, already organized in its tastes and desires. Do you see? So now this baby spirit is going to be fighting with this big flesh and this solid flesh. Do you see? And so you will find that most of the time, the will of the spirit is ignored and the flesh dominates that person's life. You get it? Yeah. Imagine Moses' baby, you know, even if she cries, you see, she's so weak compared to the others in the house. Do you understand? Even if she doesn't want to go, she will go. You know, yeah. Even if she doesn't want to get picked up, she will be picked up. You see, if she doesn't want to change, she will change. You see, and that's how your spirit is. So your spirit is in a situation where he's been born again. He means well, wants to serve the Lord, but he's living in this flesh, you know, that is used to having its way, you see, and which is loaded with desires, you know, charged with things, you know, that gratify it, you see, and the spirit is living there coolly. That's why God wants that spirit to grow. Are you getting it? Yes. As long as that spirit remains a baby, that spirit will always lose, or will most of the time lose the battle to the flesh. So that's the reason why you have sometimes a person is a Christian, he's a Christian, she's a Christian, but they find themselves always yielding to the flesh. Are you getting it? They find themselves still doing things of the flesh. And the flesh has many things. If you go to the book of Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 will introduce you to the flesh and the things that the flesh likes. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now, it says in Galatians chapter 5 and, well, let's start from verse 18. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law, right? Then what about verse 17? For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. All right, let's change the version so that, yes, just change the version so that we can see what is really going on, and maybe we should even back up to 16 and get the whole picture properly. Okay. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Do you see? Yeah. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life, and then you will not be doing what the sinful nature craves. Okay? Now, the next verse, 17. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Do you see? These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Now, who feels that this describes you? Raise your hand if you feel like this is an accurate description of your life. Yes, me too. You get it. Your sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Can you see that? So number 18 says, then, number 18 says, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Right. Now 19 describes the things that the flesh wants. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, right, the results are very clear. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Do you get it? Number one, sexual immorality. Do you see? Yes. Number two, impurity. Number three, lustful pleasures. Do you get it? Lustful pleasures. Number four, what's the next one? Idolatry, isn't it? Number five, sorcery, right? Hostility, quarreling. You see, it's not only sexual immorality. Do you see? But quarreling is also one of the things your flesh wants to do. Then what? Jealousy is also another one. And then outbursts of anger. Right? Selfish ambition. Then dissension. What's the meaning of dissension? Dissension means what? Disagreement that leads to discord, right? So arguing, isn't it? Yes. Unnecessary arguments that then create strife after that. After the argument, we won't talk anymore. Isn't it? Yes. And what is the next one? This one says strong disagreement. Okay. Then division. Isn't it? Division. We are in this group. And they are in that group. You see. And then the next one. The next one. Envy. Envy. See, these are internal conditions that you don't even announce. And which you don't even sometimes have the opportunity not to express. You see, like envy is not something that, you know, you can only decide not to envy after you have you find yourself envying. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you don't see, it doesn't seem to consult you. You see, unlike quarreling where you can make up your mind that, listen, I'm going to go and quarrel, you know. Yes, like I know somebody who got in the car and said, I'm coming. I'm going to go and quarrel. You get it? Yeah. So, you are leaving home with the intention, premeditated intention to go and quarrel. I mean, and you go, you even put the GPS and you put the map, and the map comes out and you know it's the right map, and if it's not, you correct it, and you travel on the road and you stop at the stoplight and you are waiting for it to turn green, and then you press the accelerator with the mind that we are going into quarreling. But envy is not like that. With envy, you just have this sick feeling that just comes upon you. It's just a kind of natural, you know, involuntary response to something you hear or you see. Isn't it? Yes. And so he's saying that envy, then boozing, drunkenness. That's why there'll be no alcohol at our party next week. Do you see? Yeah. If you see any alcohol here next week, if you see any clear water in a bottle, it will be water. Even if it's in a beef eater bottle. Do you see? Then wild parties. It's all the flesh. Yes. Wild parties with crazy things going on. You know, there's a stripper at the party. Yeah. I mean, that's how some people have parties. You get it? Yeah. They bring a couple of girls to the party, and their job is just to come and take their clothes off. Do you see? And other sins like these. So you see, there are some things. Sometimes somebody tells me, you know, show me where in the Bible it says this. You get it? But not everything is written. You can see it says there are other things. You see, that are like these. You see, so there may not be even a verse. But the closest you can come to that is where the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Something that looks like evil. If it looks like a bad thing, he says, stop it. Yes. And one of the ways you know this thing looks like a bad thing is especially when you don't want others to see it. Do you understand? Yes. And if you want to test it really, the Bible says, whatsoever ye do, it says, do all to the glory of God. So if you're like subjected to that, Lord, I want to glorify you, you know, with this particular thing I'm doing and see if it works. Or pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to do it. That's how to test it. You get it? So let's say you've got a cigarette or a joint you want to smoke. Lord, I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to help me with this joint. I mean, if you're cool with that, then go ahead. Look at it. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Do you get it? Yeah? So if you order, a KFC bucket of chicken, you get it. Lord, I want to glorify you. If you can, if it fits, do it. But you will see that there are some things you can't bring the name of the Lord. You can't pray about it. Yeah. You can't pray about it. And that is a sign that what you're doing is wrong. So it says other sins like these or other activities like these, you see, and it says something very strong there. Let's read that before we close. Let's go back to the previous scripture, Galatians chapter 5. You know, it says that those who do such things, you see, bring five, yes, and other sins like these. Now he says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So, you know, it's not about judging people. It's about saying what the Bible says. Do you get it? Yeah. Yes. It's not, nobody has to judge anyone. No. Nobody has to judge anyone. And you see, everyone says, people talk about judging. These days, even when you want to say what is true, the people are sort of restrained, you see, by being accused of judging people. Do you get it? Yes. But it's just what the Bible says. You're not judging anybody. You're just saying what the Bible says. And even you don't have to say, the Bible says, if you are living such a life, the Bible says that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So these are the activities of the flesh. Amen.
Amen.
The flesh wants to fornicate. The flesh wants to drink. Yes, the flesh wants to go to a party. The flesh is bored in church. Yeah, the flesh is bored in church. Yeah? Have you seen somebody asleep at a party? Not people who are not drunk. Like a party is so boring to someone that he's falling asleep. No.
No?
People stay awake and they're alive all night. All night. Yeah. Do you see? Yes. Those who fall asleep are not really asleep. They just can't keep it up. You get it? There's something, they're under some influence of something. And so it's like they can't really stay. But in terms of like falling asleep, 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 no. You get it? The flesh likes those kinds of things. Yes. But the spirit is blessed in church. The spirit is very happy in church. The spirit wishes the preaching will not end. But the flesh wants it to end. So we're going to end here. And next week we're going to continue. So stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. We'll continue next time. Amen. Right. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and let's pray. Like I said, today is another good day to give your life to Jesus. And if you are not saved, today is an opportunity to be saved. Whether you're watching us online or listening to us on the podcast, or you're right here in the service, today is a good day for salvation. So let us pray that you'll be saved today in the name of Jesus by confessing your need for salvation and asking Jesus the Savior to come into your life and save you. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you say this simple prayer with me? If you want to give your life to Jesus today, say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and you died for my sins. I confess my sins, Lord, and I ask for your forgiveness. Please come into my life, Lord. Let your blood wash me and let your blood cleanse me and make me a child of God. Lord, please write my name in your book of life. My name is, and mention your name. Say, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. Please write this name in your book of life. I want to live for you, and I want to serve you the rest of my life. Now say one more thing. Say, devil. Say it again. Say, devil. Today you and I are done. I declare to your hearing that Jesus is my master. Jesus is my Savior. I live for him from today. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you mean it, I want you to just send us a text at this number that's coming up on the screen shortly. Just send us a text at that number and someone will reach out to you and help you with the next step. Amen. We have a special book we'd like to send to you also. And so please do that and give us the opportunity to give you that little gift from us. Amen. All right. Now we want to have communion. We want to come to the Lord's table. And we want to have communion. We have communion every Sunday because that is an opportunity for us to engage the powers that are found in the cup of blessing. Hallelujah. The cup of blessing is what the Bible calls this. And every time you drink of it, you expose yourself to a blessing. Amen. You know, I've had many testimonies about people who had communion and how they experienced miracles and how they experienced the power of God and the intervention of God. I actually heard the prophet say recently that one day he didn't know what to do about a certain situation and the Lord told him, just have communion. Just have communion. And I'm sure there are many of us who come to that same place from time to time where you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't even know how to pray about it. You don't know what to decide. You don't know which way to go. And you feel lost. Communion is one of the answers. Why? Because you engage the very power of God, the body and the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. And communion exposes us to that power. Hallelujah. So I want you to take your communion and we're going to join the prophet at the First Love Center to celebrate it. Amen. So yes, let's just get ready to do that. Amen. All right.
Brothers, sisters, we are one.
The body of Jesus.
Shout together to the Lord, who has promised our reward, happiness a hundredfold, and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word.
The blood of Jesus
cleanses you, cleanses me from every sin and every mistake.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus.
Thank you.
Lift your holy hands. The
The Lord bless you with many blessings.
Amen.
Lift your hands. The Lord bless you with many blessings.
Amen.
The Lord reach out to you. The Lord make his face shine on you.
Amen.
The Lord help you.
Amen.
The Lord send an angel to help you this week.
Amen.
May the blessing of the Lord be on you, your family.
Amen.
And everything that is precious to you.
Amen.
May you not hear bad news.
Yes.
May you hear good news.
Amen.
May every bad news turn around to become a good thing.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Live long and prosper.
Amen.
May you be an old man in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
May you be an old lady in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Having served the Lord for many years, working the church, may you be a worker by excellence.
Amen.
And on the day that you go out of this world, may your the honor and the tributes to your work be endless.
Amen.
May you arrive in heaven to crowds of cheering angels. Hallelujah. And glorified saints.
Amen.
We welcome your arrival, because your arrival is the arrival of a hero.
Amen.
Of the last days.
Amen.
May boys and girls, both listening and hearing my words, have these prophecies fulfilled in detail. The Lord bless you with spiritual things. The Lord give you spiritual gifts and spiritual blessings. May you be a spiritual giant, a spiritual worker, a spiritual leader. Receive the spirit of diligence.
Amen.
Receive the spirit of diligence.
Amen.
And may all the seven prophecies,
yes,
of a diligent person be, yes, fulfilled in your life, beginning from today.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. Receive help from an angel this week. Amen. That's a very serious blessing. Receive help, supernatural help from an angel this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.